You're listening to the Story Selling Podcast, where we help you create better content, double your impact and your revenue through the power of story and sales psychology. Here's your host, digital marketing strategist and founder of the Story Selling Masterclass, 16 Ramos.
Did you have a merry little Christmas? Happy holidays. Welcome to this episode. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas time with your loved ones. Mine was pretty chill. Had turkey dinner. I made some, I made some honey soy chicken. I made some tres leches cake. It was a lot of work, actually. So maybe it wasn't chill. But nonetheless, it was a wonderful Christmas. I hope you got to spend it with people you love. I sure miss the loud Christmases that we used to have in the Philippines. We have a big family, something you might not know about me. I'm actually four of five siblings. And when I used to live in the Philippines, we used to have really, really loud Christmases, and I loved every minute of it. So we used to have that. But lately it's been because, you know, my siblings are all over the U.S. now. They have their own families, they have their own homes, and gets pretty expensive to keep traveling nowadays. And so lately Christmas has been pretty chill, but I still love it. I most especially loved watching the snow. How was your Christmas? How'd you spend it? Hopefully you were warm. I just, you know, growing up in the Philippines, I just, my tropical self cannot deal well with this cold. So I just put on all the layers, man. But, you know, I survived it. I hope I do. I've had the sniffles for about 2 days, but I'm fine now. I'm well enough to do this podcast episode. Thank goodness, because this is important. 2023 is right around the corner. The next celebration is New Year's celebration. And I gotta say, I'd be lying if I wasn't still thinking about work, even though we're supposed to be chilling for the holidays. Although I am kind of a workaholic, which I am working on, one of the habits that I'm trying to temper. But, you know, it's just, we're cursed with it as business owners, I think. Especially if you really, really love what you do, all you're really thinking about is making a bigger impact. So I wanted to dedicate today's podcast episode to that, about how to cut through the noise in 2023 and how to create content that matters. And also on the business side, how to create more brand awareness for your business. 2023 is going to be rife with brands selling their stuff. So I want you to mentally prepare for that year right now, that you're going to be competing with a lot of brands that want to generate as many customers as they can for the first quarter of the year. And you can't blame them. You can't blame businesses and brands for doing that, because customers need a transformation during this time. This is the new year's. They're all about new year, new me. Some, you know, there's a concept floating around now where people should just chill more and forget about new year, new me. But it's a very symbolic time. You can't take that away from people, because you know, it's a time where you turn a new leaf and you want some progress, you want growth, you want to pay more attention to yourself, you want to invest in better habits, better things, better health, you name it. So people need a transformation. And as brands, we want to be the helping hand that guides them through making the you know, better decisions for themselves and making that step, taking that step towards the transformation that they want. So how do you get that message across when all of the brands are doing the same thing, especially if you have a very, if you're in a very competitive niche? How do you create content that will help you draw in new people and content that won't drown in a sea of other sales content? So let's talk about it. If you're a brand that's new and just launching, or you're introducing a rebrand, or you're launching a campaign for the New Year's, or if you're a brand that's simply looking to stay top of mind in the next year, let's talk about how to get your brand more known to an audience you want to serve. And this audience might be your tribe. It might be an engaged community Or it might be an audience of ideal clients or paying clients or prospective clients. So let's talk about what the key is in achieving that, in achieving content that cuts through the noise and content that gets or generates more brand awareness for you. The key is in creating content. You want to focus on this right now. The key is in creating content that has high probability of getting shared and getting saved. Okay, what does this mean? Content that gets saved by the viewer, meaning they tapped on the save button, basically. You know, Facebook and Instagram makes this very obvious, the save button. And shareable content, basically content that gets shared with other people via reposting on their stories or on their feed. So why is this important? Why should we focus on getting shares and saves? Especially for Facebook and Instagram, algorithms use a lot of different engagement metrics to decide which posts get bumped up in feeds, including likes, comments, shares, views, and saves. So when someone saves your content, it tells the platform that it's high quality content and that it should probably be sharing it with more people so that everyone can benefit from the awesomeness of that content. Also, this is what I mean about content that works hard for you. I say that a lot in these episodes. I want your content to work hard for you. And this is what I mean. When it's being shared by people, when it's creating lots of buzz and engagement, even without your effort. So you see, you post something, and because it's educational or entertaining or it appeals to emotion, it gets shared by other people. It gets shared to a wider audience. You tap into a network that you aren't really connected with. And so you're using other people's effort to create buzz on that piece of content. That's how it works hard for you. And I love that. I love it when it happens. And it doesn't always happen like that. As a content creator, if you've been creating content for your brand for a while now, you're going to know that not all of your posts will achieve the same thing. But also, another crucial point here is consistency. If you do enough of these high-value content on a schedule that you can sustain, then you have more odds of tapping into that group of people that are just going to love that and can't wait to share your content. And when I talk about consistency, I don't really mean daily posting. You don't have to do that. You don't have to post every day, but choose a schedule that you can sustain, whether that's every other day or four times a week, as long as you can stick to it. And a lot of people ask about quantity versus quality with content. I go with both when I can, because when you're consistent with high value content, then you become reliable as well as a brand. Your ideal client will start relying on you to have useful or helpful content that's gonna basically help them. So you want to keep that in mind as well as you move forward with these story concepts or these content concepts I'm about to tell you. So again, the goal is to create savable and shareable content moving into 2023. So I'm going to give you some of my go-to content concepts that I love creating that's fun, for at least for me, to create. Let me know which one of these is fun for you, but I'm going to share four content types that have guaranteed saves and shares in my experience. So let me know what your experience is with these content types after. Give yourself some time, give yourself some patience to experiment as well, because I gave myself a long, long time to figure out which of these I'm going to stick with, which of the other content types I'm going to stick with. And I figured out that these four actually work well for me in generating saves and shares. So first is educational content. And this is content that helps people achieve a tangible result, helps them address a problem. And my most favorite type is carousels. So this can take the form of different types, like different formats. But my favorite is carousels. I love carousel posts, and this is most popular on a platform like Instagram. So I love carousels because, number one, people dwell on it longer. So another way social media platforms know that your content is valuable is how long people dwell on that particular piece of content. So, you know, these algorithms also time how long, how many seconds, how many minutes people it's rarely minutes, really. It's usually seconds. How many seconds a person dwells on a particular piece of content. So if it exceeds the average amount of time they spend on a video or on a photo, then that tells the algorithm, that tells the platform that, oh, they really like this content because they're staying on it a lot longer than they usually do. So let's serve them more of this. So any way you can get them to stick around longer, the better. So carousels do that job for you because it's a series of photos, right? If you want to check out my carousels or what this looks like, follow me on Instagram at 16 Ramos, and you're going to see some of the carousels. It's this series of photos that you have to swipe through, swipe, swipe, swipe until you finish it. So that's why it's called carousel, because you swipe over and over. And the thing about carousels is if it's educational, you don't put all of your tips in one frame. You actually spread it out across multiple frames so people have to read all the way through. So if you actually create stories in these carousels, well, they have to have a resolution to the story, don't they? So they have to finish it all the way through. But here's another advantage to it. What if they don't finish? If they don't finish the carousel, let's say you have 6 pictures in the carousel and they only got through picture number 3, what Instagram does is when the feed refreshes, Instagram offers up your carousel again because they need to finish it. Because the carousel wasn't finished the first time, when they refresh the feed, they see it again. So it's like double exposure for your content. So that really is a good thing, especially when you want your content to cut through. So Instagram offers it up again. Another format that I love creating when it comes to educational content is short reels. So really reels that take about 30 seconds, especially if I'm talking on the reel, I'm talking about tips or tutorials or giving a piece of advice. I love reels because to me, it's just a lot easier to create. Carousels take some time to create on Canva because I have to design it and I have to put in the text on the graphics. But with reels, I just really have to press the record button and the record button. And then I shoot and then I speak and then it's done. I turn on the closed captions and then I have a video. It's just a lot less energy spent on creating content. So depends on the mood. I either create carousels or short reels for educational content. And when you're teaching someone how to do something or achieve a tangible result, it's useful, it's helpful, and it really compels the viewer to hit the save or the share button. Now, another tip that I want to share is create that call to action in the end. At the end of your video, you can say something like, was this helpful? Share and save to everybody. Or if you have a carousel, you're going to add it as the last frame on your carousel. Was this helpful? Save and share to anyone who might need it, right? Now, second go-to shareable/saveable content that I do is microblogging in my captions. So when you look at my Instagram again, you're going to notice that a lot of my captions are long form. And my creative process on this is that I take my usually long blog posts. So normally what I would post on 16ramos.com, for example, would be a long, long blog post, but I would create a summarized version of that or a shorter version of that. And I would put that in my captions on Instagram or on Facebook. So the goal is to deliver high value in those captions in the form of instructions. So think step-by-step instructions or listicles, like, you know, the top 5 tools that you use or instructions on how to achieve glowing skin, whatever, right? Think step-by-step or listicles in your captions. And this also achieves that goal of getting people to dwell longer because they're reading. So you want to make, pro tip here, you want to make your captions really readable. I would say scannable as well. So I use a lot of bullet points. I use emojis. I break up my paragraphs into several lines so that it's a lot easier for the eyes to scan. So microblogging, I love this. If I'd rank the top formats that I love doing, it's not always reels. I really, quite frankly, I'd rather write. So I love the written form and then audio and then video next. It's like, it's not always reels are the top. It's whatever you feel most comfortable with. And I'm a better writer than I am a speaker. I say that a lot. So I like microblogging a lot. And this is actually how I grew my Instagram following for the most part, because reels are pretty recent. But Instagram has always been like photo and caption. And so microblogging was really a big deal in getting brand awareness. So third example, and this is probably going to be the easiest for you, is quotable quotes. Just quotes that are relevant in your niche or your industry. So you can find quotes that are witty or funny or touch a nerve. You can find these on Instagram or Pinterest or even Twitter. So you can just input the word quotes for, you know, entrepreneurship or entrepreneurship, women in entrepreneurship quotes. And then when you find a quote that you like, my pro tip here is to recreate them in your brand. I rarely, if I ever do, just post something off of Google, like grab an image from Google and then post it as it is. What I do is I incorporate my own brand colors, or I put my handle, like @16Ramos, on the graphic somewhere, very, very small. I make it on brand when I can. If it's just a black and white photo, say black text over a white background, I post that as well because it's just clean. But still, I make it a point to somehow add my handle in there so that when it does get shared, people will know where to find who the original came from, quote unquote original, because of course you've recreated quotes that you've seen. But the goal again is brand awareness. So you wanna put your handle on there when you can. So there are nuances to this. Like for example, if it's somebody else's tweet, and it's kind of a unique tweet, I won't put my name on there and I just repost that somehow. But if it's like a famous person's quote or a quote that's been floating around, it has become viral anyway, then I'd recreate that in my brand and put my handle on it. So if you want to just input and search for quotes that might be relevant to your audience and then put them in an album. And what I do because I collect quotes all the time. So I put those in an album, I take screenshots, and then I just in one sitting, I put that in Canva and I just create like maybe 20 or 30 quote graphics at once, because I already have my brand kit. I already have my colors. I already have my template. So it's just easy to just copy and paste the quotes when I find them. Now, whenever I'm having a hard time just thinking of a topic, or I don't have anything to post, or it's an emergency, I need filler content, because there are some days when I do post more than once a day. And so I'll have a quote on standby, for example. Rarely ever happens when I have nothing to post, because most of the time I do schedule my content ahead of time. But if you're not there yet, then quotes are a great filler content. And of course, you can accompany this with an insightful caption if you like as well. So that's third example of one of my go-to shareable or savable pieces of content. And the fourth and last would be aesthetically pleasing posts. So think product photography or destination, your dream destination, or scenes. So anything that's like eye candy, anything that's aesthetically pleasing will get shared just because they look pretty. So there really isn't a deeper reason to share anything that's aesthetically pleasing, save for the reason that it's just really pretty to look at. So I do this a lot with like kitchen inspiration or, you know, house decor. I really don't have any reason. I'm not even going to shop, but I just like the way it looks. So I'll share and I'll save it just for inspiration. Just maybe I want to put it in my vision board or whatever. And you know what? That's fine. Because if the goal is brand awareness, you know what's going to happen is someone is going to share that to an audience that maybe some of those people are interested to shop, or some of those people are interested in, you know, learning more. So you still want to go for that share and save factor, even when it's just aesthetically pleasing, because maybe that's the one push they need to just add to cart or sign up. So aesthetically pleasing posts, I do that. I post those. It's mostly on Instagram because it's a highly visual platform. So those are my four. Those are my go-to. If you have other content concepts that you use that get you a lot of shares and saves, share them with us. You know, share them in the comment section of this podcast episode, if there is one, depending on where you're listening in from, or reach out to me on social media at 16 Ramos and just tell me that you've listened to my podcast and share your thoughts with me. So those are my four go-to, but let's take it up a notch. I have some pro tips for you here if you're ready to implement this and incorporate this into your content marketing strategy. First would be to make your topics relevant to your ideal client, especially if you're creating educational content. So with educational content, you want to think, what are people Googling or what are people searching for in YouTube, for example? Don't make it so on brand when you're creating educational topics for brand awareness, because people who have not bought from you yet won't intuitively know how to search for your brand name because they're not exposed to you yet. What they are going to search for, however, will be general topics, evergreen topics, like how to achieve thick, lustrous hair without breakage, or how to create very engaging videos that look professional. So those are kind of very general topics that don't need a brand attached to them. It just addresses a particular problem. So when you create educational topics, think evergreen and think general topics that most of your ideal clients will Google or search on YouTube for. Second pro tip that I have is to choose the right format for your content. Experiment and find out where you're most comfortable with and what gives you the most engagement. So like I said, it's not always reels. It's not always going to be video. I'm all over the place and I do video, I do written, and I do audio. I very much enjoy the podcasts a lot. And to tell you honestly, the podcasts bring in majority of my conversions for everything, for the course, for my lead magnets. And then second would be my videos and then the written form. So I enjoy multiple types of formats. Choose one that you're most comfortable with, and you're most likely going to be more consistent as well when you're enjoying the format too. So experiment with different formats and figure out what you like and what your audience likes and just kind of marry the two together. It might be a combination of all three, video, written, and audio. Now, third pro tip that I have is to ensure that your story is authentic and it aligns with your brand's values and your mission. So like I said, with 2023 coming, a lot of brands are going to be, they're going to have their own agenda. They're going to be selling a lot of stuff. So if you want to cut through that noise, you want to prove that you're human too, and you're not just a brand that peddles product. So create content in story form, rooted in authenticity, and align it with what's important to you, your values and your mission as a person and as a brand. So that you also attract your tribe. You attract people that like that kind of messaging, that connect on a deeper level than your product. Okay, so how to get started on this? Because I've given you lots of great examples, lots of pro tips. Hope that you take action. So how do you get started? Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you this. Vanity metrics, a lot of brands look at that because it's good for social proof. You know, vanity metrics are likes, views, some comments, but they do nothing to stay top of mind, really, unless someone really just lands on your profile and then they go, oh, they have 100,000 followers. Maybe that's a reason for me to follow. That's good for social proof. But new audiences are probably going to hear about you through the explore page, for example, or by stumbling upon your individual pieces of content. So if you focus on creating high value, shareable and savable content, you're most likely going to get the follow anyway. So here's the formula for brand awareness. I'm going to tell you this. It's creating shareable and savable content and then tracking your numbers as you go. So you want to track which of those pieces of content have the most numbers, and then you create more of what works. Okay, so that's the formula, creating shareable and savable content and then tracking your numbers as you go. So you want to, the second thing that you want to do is to incorporate the content concepts I just talked about into your marketing efforts. So you want to look at your current marketing strategy or your marketing strategy for 2023 if you already have that. If you don't have that yet, then in a little bit, I'm going to tell you about how we can work together to create your 2023 content marketing strategy. But if you already have yours, then you want to take a look at the concepts that you have, the topics that you have, and see how you can turn those into savable or shareable formats. Now, you can DIY this, of course, or you can have the story selling team help you out. So this is why I love the Story Selling Masterclass, because a lot of the elements in the 2.0 version is done for you. So our team generates 12 weeks of on-brand content for you that captures your brand voice and engages your specific niche. But also, our team gives you the content calendar and templates that you need for the entire year so you can create amazing story selling content throughout the year, even after you're done with the program. So if you want to take this huge job off your shoulders, I'm not going to lie, it's a lot of work to create content, but you don't have to do it alone. Our team is here to help take that huge job off your shoulders. So what you want to do is apply for the Story Selling Masterclass. Visit thestorysellingmasterclass.com. It's probably going to be in the descriptions of this podcast episode. That's thestorysellingmasterclass.com. Hit the apply button all over the page. And once your application is approved, it's just going to be a short form, fill out the form. And once your application is approved, you're going to get on a 45-minute action plan call with me. And this is a free call where we do a health check on your current marketing strategy and we map out your six-figure plan for the next 12 months. So even if you don't enroll, you'll still get a blueprint for your marketing strategy, which is super valuable. So I hope to see you in there. Check out the storysellingmasterclass.com. If you decide to DIY this, let me know how it goes. It's so exciting. You know, content marketing is so much fun if you know the strategies and the tools. So let me know your thoughts. Which of these story concepts are you going to implement right away? And like I said, give yourself some time, give yourself some patience to experiment. Give yourself about a month or two to figure out what content formats really give you the engagement that you want. And let me know your progress. Let me know your results. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you have a good holiday, a good New Year celebration coming. Tell me all about it. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
You've been listening to the Story Selling Podcast. Catch you again next time for a brand new episode. If you like this topic or have a story you'd like to share, reach out and visit 16ramos.com.